This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, hour number three on a Monday evening. That is former Cardinals quarterback Sean King.
Undefeated, 7-0.
I have Tim Murray, 13-10, the final score on Monday Night Football tonight. The Saints get the win. The Seahawks get the cover. And that wraps up week number seven in the NFL. Week number nine of college football will be here before you know it. Some Thursday night games. And on Mondays, we always take a look early at the board. And Brad Powers joins us because we know he has scoured it, bet it already. And he doesn't like to gloat. That's why we're here, to gloat for him.
BP.
Because Michigan Northwestern, no sweat whatsoever. The under comes home, his favorite play last week. So
he likes San Diego State. They covered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good week for Brad. And let's keep it rolling. Brad, it wasn't the sexiest week last week. He also said his favorite of the four ranked unranked teams over ranked teams was Wisconsin, and they win by 17. But let's get to a top 10 showdown. College Game Day will be there. Derek Stevens, we're trying to get to go out there too because he needs to be there for this game. You've got the Wolverines visiting Sparty, and this is the first time since 1964 that both these teams are in the top 10 playing each other. Brad, right now, Michigan laying 4.5 with a total that's starting to sink a little bit. Open 51.5, now down to 50.5. So when you look at Sparty and Michigan, what jumps out at you?
I bet the under on the open. So I agree with that money coming in on the under there. I think it's kind of an old school throwback type of game. And it traditionally has been the case. I mean, it's one of those where you look at the team that usually wins the line of scrimmage and has the most rushing yards has won like 40 of the last 50 matchups. So I think that favors Michigan a little bit, even though you got an outstanding running back in Kenneth Walker for Michigan State. I just trust Michigan a little bit more on the defensive side of the ball than I do the Spartans. And I lean Michigan State, but again, I prefer the under.
Yeah, and just
and what total did Brad say?
Well, and Brad, you bet the opener which was 51.5.
Well, of course, I mean, don't mean to brag, but I got 53.5.
Very nice. Yeah, because 51 is a key number because 27, 24, those types of games. So 51 is a pretty important key number. So at 50.5, is that now gone too far? Would that be a stay away spot for you?
Yeah, more pizza money bet now instead of something that is at the top of the card.
Gotcha. All right, so now at 50.5, more of a feel. I would agree. I think that it does have that feel of an under type game. Well, the shine of this one got taken away a little bit after 9 overtimes and just disgusting football. But Ohio State seems to be figuring it out. You look at who they've beaten; it's not all that impressive, but. They went to Indiana and won by 47, and C.J. Stroud threw 4 touchdowns and got out of that game early. And now, at home, they are laying 18.5 right now, Brad. This one has been bet up since the opener, total of 60. Penn State and Ohio State, anything that you like in this one?
I bet Ohio State. I'm part of the money on the Buckeyes in that one, and to me, it's not only a play on Ohio State and what they've done here recently. I mean, offensively, they're the best offense in the entire country. But it's also a play against a Penn State offense that I don't think you keep up with Ohio State. And mainly because Sean Clifford, the quarterback for me, doesn't look 100% healthy. Looked like he came back too soon after the injury against Iowa last week. I mean, Penn State was pathetic. They were actually lucky to go to overtime against Illinois. They were manhandled at the line of scrimmage. I expect nothing different here. I mean, the difference is instead of facing an Illinois anemic pass attack, now they face arguably the best passing attack in the country. Buckeyes roll.
Got the cocktail party. Also, situation that maybe some shine off of it. Florida losing prior to the bye week to LSU and Orgeron's last stand, potentially. Who knows? Georgia has been so tremendous defensively. You can get a 14.5 out there if you like the dog in this spot. on a neutral field. 14s mostly across the landscape, Georgia and Florida. I believe, unless he's crazy, Anthony Richardson has to start a quarterback. I mean, he is – I don't know why he hasn't, you know, outside of the injury, been more out there. So with Richardson at quarterback, is this a spot maybe Florida is feisty, or do you still think Georgia with that defense can suffocate the Gators?
From a pure power ratings aspect, I understand why it's sitting here. And it, keep in mind, it would be the largest favorite role ever for Georgia in this series, for Georgia against their rival Florida. So a little bit of a historic line shows you how good Georgia's been. But I'd shop around and I'd take the hook. I'd take 14.5. It's just more of a gut feeling that off the bye, Dan Mullen will have something cooking on the offense side of the ball, and I agree with you. It'll likely start with Richardson at quarterback.
Yeah, right now, if you look around, our friends at South Point still have 14.5. So if you like the dog in the spot, you like the dog a little
bit. Yeah, Gators win this game. Have a small play on Gators.
Sure. Oh, wow.
I mean, I can't call him crazy. I can't call him crazy anymore, Brad. Clemson just lost their third game of the year. So, you know, he gets to wear the king's crown for a while.
This is a get-back game for Florida. Like, this is one of the few teams that Georgia's going to play where the guys don't look different on the other side. Now, they don't have the depth that Georgia has, but the one thing I keep saying about Georgia, Stetson Bennett, JT Daniels, neither one has played a bad game since week one. And when JT played bad in that game against Clemson, think about that game in hindsight and how competitive and close it was, and think what Clemson has turned out to be. If that quarterback doesn't play a great game, I'm telling you, it's going to be a tight, tight game. Kentucky was tit for tat with Georgia until the linebacker doesn't pick up what's a fumble that he thinks is an incomplete pass. You know, Kentucky's about to get that ball. I know, and Georgia's playing good, and I agree with you, Brad. I would look for the hook, but a small play on Florida to win outright. I would not be surprised.
I would be very surprised. I don't trust Dan Mullen whatsoever, but I do like it at 14.5. I would agree with that. We're talking to Brad Powers. He joins us in this spot every week. A game, you know, a clear letdown spot for Pittsburgh, but Miami, you could say they're in a letdown spot, too, after beating NC State. They now go on the road. 9 here at Circa in favor of Pitt. You can find a 10 out there if you like the dog. Is this a spot? Is this a letdown spot you look at for Pitt, laying 10 after beating Clemson?
Yeah, and you look at Narduzzi's track record. Just cannot trust him after a big-time performance like they had last week. Although I'm not a huge fan of Manny Diaz and the job he's done in Miami. But, you know, give the Hurricanes credit. They're playing really tough. They haven't quit. I mean, last 2 weeks have been pretty solid for them. They almost beat North Carolina and obviously got the job done against NC State. It's a close game. I would take Miami into anything above a touchdown.
Yeah, right now 10 here at – or sorry, 9 here at Circa. 10 is at South Point if you want to find that double-digit – spread. We're talking once again to Brad Powers. All right, Brad, we always get into trouble with time, asking him his favorite play on the board. So we've given you a little more room to breathe. We got about 3.5 minutes, so we'll sneak in a couple games if we can after this. But what is right now on the board, still available, your most intriguing play?
I like Rutgers -1.5 against Illinois. I bet him, you know, on the opener as a dog. I think it's good up to 2.5, and I expect the line to continue to move. I have no problems whatsoever fading Illinois off a big-time outright upset win, off a 9-overtime game, taking on a Rutgers team that could reset coming off the bye after losing 3 straight heading into it. I like Rutgers here against an Illinois team that's probably playing without their quarterback, Sitkowski, in this one, who got hurt late in that game. Rutgers, I think, wins comfortably over the Fighting Illini.
Yeah, I actually looked at that game. Haven't bet it yet. No, I think I will. I agree with that one.
Illinois is bad. Both quarterbacks are bad. I don't. It is what it is.
Well, you mentioned coming off a bye. I know a team that you and I cover or follow very closely. That is Notre Dame. The news coming out today that All-American safety Kyle Hamilton, who left the USC game with a knee injury, will be out for UNC. UNC can throw the ball. They can't really block. They've only had one true road game. That was back in September against Virginia Tech. So it's a night game at Notre Dame, but UNC coming off a bye. You still can get 3.5 out there if you like the dog. Is this a spot to back the Tar Heels coming off a bye?
I do like North Carolina in this matchup. I mean, not only them coming off a bye, but I mean, if you follow North Carolina all season, I mean, it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of mm-hmm. situation for them. I think they have an incredible upside as far as, you know, the last six opponents that Notre Dame faces. I mean, North Carolina is the most talented team. So I think, you know, if Sam Howell's hot and he's capable of being so, can take advantage of a secondary for Notre Dame playing without arguably the best player in the nation in the secondary in Kyle Hamilton. So I do like the Tar Heels, especially at +3.5.
All right, one final one for you. There's a weird trend sticking with Notre Dame. Now, it applies to only teams that lose to Notre Dame because we mentioned Cincinnati. They followed their win with a thumping of Temple. But if you look at the teams that have lost to Notre Dame, they're 0-5 ATS the next week and 1-4 straight up. I don't know if it's just a weird, bizarre trend, but Arizona and USC, we got less than a minute. USC's laying 3 touchdowns. Can you lay it, or is this trend going to continue with teams losing to Notre Dame not covering?
I think it continues. And, you know, I watched USC's body language in that Notre Dame game, and I immediately thought to myself, I want to fade SC after this one. Because I thought they played pretty hard against the Irish last Saturday night, and there's not much to play for them. The problem is they're playing Arizona. What was going to be maybe my favorite plays of the week, I look at the schedule and see the Trojans playing Arizona. So just a lean on the Wildcat.
All right, there he is, Brad Powers. Brad, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take
care. There he is, Brad Powers, at BradPowers7 on Twitter. That's Sean. I'm Tim. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, BetRivers has you covered. BetRivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, LA, and now Denver. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. As always, thanks again to Brad Powers for joining us, rifling through some games. Under in Michigan, Sparty, he got a very good number at 53.5. It has now moved down to 50.5. He said, really liked it at 53.5. He said more of a, as he said, pizza bet on under 50.5.
I think it's going to be a higher scoring game than people think.
Yeah?
Yes, because I think Michigan State's offensive weapons are really good.
They are.
And I don't think Michigan State's overall defensive speed is great. So I could very easily see this being a 30-27 type football game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That'll be at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific Saturday.
With the one unknown being the weather, unless the weather turns out really bad.
Yeah, I haven't checked on the local forecasts for East Lansing, Michigan, but it'll be a charged up atmosphere. There's no doubt about
Sparty it. Sparty wins outright, too, by the way.
I could see it.
Yeah, Sparty wins outright.
I could. Ohio State, Penn State, he likes Ohio State big in that one. He leaned UNC plus the points. He liked that spot for USC.
Don't
UNC.
Trust that.
Florida +14.5 if you can get the hook.
I like it.
Miami +10.
Don't trust that.
I do.
I don't.
Coming off, you're going to trust Narduzzi off a big win?
Miami just upset the team that was in first in the ACC, so emotionally it's kind of like a push.
Nah, I don't think so.
I do.
Pittsburgh at home just beat Clemson.
I know. But not the normal Clemson.
I understand, but it's still Clemson.
But it's
that
not.
That is a emotional thing to get to knock off Goliath. Even if they're down.
But I don't think you view it as
you're putting
such.
Way too much. I don't. Pat Narduzzi as a head coach, who did Pittsburgh lose to earlier this year?
Western Michigan.
Yeah. Exactly. That's his true colors. And until he proves me wrong and they go 11-1 or 10-2 and can compete in an ACC championship, year after year, they lose. Look, they have beaten Clemson. They beat Miami the year that they were back, right? They went nuts down. They beat Notre Dame by a gajillion. Next week, Pitt beat them, or 2 weeks later.
So let me.
That just, is what Pitt. So Pitt laying 10.
So
I think it's a tricky spot.
So here's where, when I look at this game, and I always tell you this, great quarterbacks separate themselves.
Is Kenny Pickett great?
I think the way he's playing this season,
he's good.
In
very
this
good.
Particular season, he's above good. And the issue is, even though they lost to Western Michigan, they scored 41.
It doesn't matter. You can't lose to Western Michigan.
Well, watch. Just hear me out. That means that defensively they played bad. I watched every snap of NC State-Miami. Miami is not scoring more than 20 points on NC State. So for them to cover this number, all they have to do is get to 31. On Pitt. Like I like Kenny Pickett to pick this defense apart. I really do. I'll just be tread careful. I mean, you guys are gonna do what you're gonna do, but I'm just it's normally I would say yes, but again, the emotion, the energy, Miami honored their national championship team that a lot of people view as the greatest team in college football history. At halftime, just and even with all of that going at home, Miami didn't win the game as much as NC State lost the game.
I agree with what Brad said. I don't trust Manny Diaz either. I don't trust either one of these coaches. I am not a Pat Narduzzi fan. He's hard-headed. He's stubborn. And I think he makes a lot of mistakes. This year, they've avoided him, except for losing to a MAC team who, by the way, is 2-2 in the MAC right now.
Oh, I agree. That's a bad loss.
You can't lose that game.
I agree. That's a bad loss. So, but I'm just talking this particular game, Pitt's going to score points. So now the pressure goes on Miami and their freshman quarterback to match Pitt's output.
When is this game? Is this a noon game?
So
there'll be, I've been to noon games at Pitt. It is a sleepy atmosphere. Sleepy.
Definitely not going to be great, but Miami's coming from that warm weather of Miami. There's going to be colder in Pittsburgh. And I'm just, like, as a former player in these games, remember what I talked about Justin Fields and where I feel like he has to change, that body language. Kenny Pickett can energize everybody because of how he's playing, because of his talent level. And against this version of Miami, all you do is score points. He's got to put up points.
Everything
you said about Narduzzi's accurate. I'm saying to me the one difference is Pitt has a first round caliber quarterback.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett's played tremendous, and we'll get to some Heisman odds here in just a little bit. And in case you missed it, Brad's favorite play, and I absolutely agree on this: Rutgers minus 1.5.
Yeah, I love that play. I need to put that in before it goes up.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if that's playing around 4.
Yeah,
by game time.
Play it now. I mean, Illinois. Bielema calls them out, and they go to 9 overtime. Sitkowski broke his wrist. Now you're going back to Peters. Rutgers off a bye. I'm a Schiano fan, and I think he gets the best out of teams that are, don't have great talent.
Because you don't work for him.
What's that?
Because you don't work for him.
That is true. I do not.
Oh.
All right, let's get to so Sean can gloat, because that's what he does.
I'm not gloating. I just want to see how we did. And then we talk through our misses and how we don't repeat them.
By the way, magically, 2 weeks ago, we didn't put up the bankroll when you went over.
I just assumed we were going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. All right, here's your bankroll. You did well. USF, great call.
All right.
Terrific call. That cashes. You put 300 on LSU on the money line.
Terrible.
Did not come home.
Terrible coaching. Like, Ed Orgeron displayed again why he's out. LSU's up 7. They have 4th down inside the 5 on the road instead of kicking the field goal and going up 10. I talk to you about this all the time. Urban made the same mistake on Thursday Night Football. Jags at Bengals. When you're on the road, you take the points. He doesn't kick the field goal. He goes for it. All downhill after that.
You know, I thought about playing LSU in this spot, and the more as the week went on, I just thought, maybe that Florida game was kind of it. That was it. I don't know. We'll see.
And again, I was wavering between.
And the Matt Corral situation,
Right. I didn't know if he was going to play.
Lane played possum, and maybe he won't play. He played.
I was wavering between LSU and the Colts with that bet. And I just went LSU, which I probably should have went Colts, but that's okay. Titans, money line.
That was easy.
Never in doubt.
Easy.
And
very nice.
Of course, I lost the parlay because LSU did. So what were we, plus 370?
Yeah, good week.
So
very good
457.50 if you've been following the bankroll plays. Hopefully you guys have. We love not just giving you great information, but also helping you make a couple of disallas.
For me, it was a wash of a weekend. UCLA really let me down. Iowa State won, didn't cover, but that money line parlay with Wisconsin, the debate I had was I going to lay the points? I personally did with Wisconsin. Which was I going to put in the bankroll? I felt a little bit more confident Iowa State would get it done. So both those wiped out, but you win 375 there. NFL mixed bag again. Cincinnati plus the 6.5. They win outright. Indianapolis plus 4 win outright. But Philadelphia, which, hey man, got the closing line value. It was everyone was on Philadelphia. They go right down the field. They score a touchdown, and then they were terrible.
So can I ask you a question here? And this is just me wanting to learn. So you like three underdogs in the NFL, all road teams.
Mm-hmm.
Why the money line bet on the smallest dog as opposed to the bigger
dog? I really
dog?
Thought Philadelphia was going to win. And mm-hmm. by the way, you know, it doesn't mean anything because I lost and they got their butts whipped, but I mean, Philly went off on a pick.
Yeah, when they announced Darren Waller was out right before game time, the line started moving a lot.
So, I mean, you know, on Friday, you could have got three, which I did, and then went off plus 135 when at the end of the day, it went off minus 110 in most spots. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your closing line value is when you get smoked on the field. And, I mean, you know, Philly fans are calling for Gardner Minshew now, and Jalen Hurts looked discombobulated. There was a slight chance for a miracle backdoor cover, and then Scott Seidenberg tweeted about it, so we were done.
Yeah. Shout out to Rich Bisaccia, by the way, and the job he's doing with the Raiders. You know, it'd be very interesting.
Carr balled out yesterday.
If Las Vegas makes the playoffs, it'd be very interesting what Mark Davis does.
I agree.
It's a lot cheaper to keep it like it is.
Yeah.
It really is. But, you know, I've been told by people that do this for a living that are more smarter than me when it just comes to the NFL and odds. And they all say if you like a dog, 6 points or less, bet them on the money line. Because the percentages say that team wins just as often as they cover.
I don't know if I agree with that, but hey.
Just what I was told.
It would have worked out if I did have Indianapolis personally on the money line. I didn't have Cincinnati. I'm kicking myself for that one. I just had the 6.5. But
yeah, they balled out.
They looked terrific. Won by 24. All right, that's Sean. I'm Tim. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Back to the NFL on the other side. It is the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 a month. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. It is an ICAP here on VSiN. Week 7 of the NFL season officially closed. Turn the page to Week 8 with a dandy to start that the week. However, the news today, Devontae Adams dealing with COVID, and he is vaccinated, but would have to test negative twice within a 24-hour span in order to be eligible to play on Thursday. So not looking great for Devontae Adams. They're dealing with a host of other injuries as well. So that'll be the Thursday night game. Cardinals laying 6. Your Arizona Cardinals
get it
laying
now.
6 in that spot against the
6
Green
looks
Bay
like
Packers.
A lot. Until you see what this offense looks like without Devontae Adams. He's all of it. I mean, without
6-0
him,
all
they're
time.
Pedestrian.
I'm just here to report the facts. They are 6-0 all time without Devontae Adams.
I think only in the last 2 years do they become so Devontae dependent. Like,
he missed
so
a game.
Heavy.
He missed a couple games last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear you. I mean, he is.
And they've.
I mean, the rapport that he and Aaron Rodgers have is just you know, it's unmatchable.
And the way Watt and Chandler are getting after the quarterback, it's been a long day.
Well, and as you mentioned, you know, Zach Ertz making, was it his debut yesterday? Did he make his debut?
No, yeah, it was his debut.
And he scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So
he had like six catches, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on.
And you're looking at a secondary, you know, Green Bay yesterday, I was sitting next to Wes Reynolds yesterday, and he had Washington plus the points. And if you had Washington plus the points, I won't say it's a bad beat because Washington's a bad football team, but they had so many opportunities inside the red zone. And Green Bay entering yesterday, when teams entered the red zone, it was a revolving door. 15 for 15 teams were scoring touchdowns. And yesterday, Washington, I believe, went 0 for 4.
Yeah.
So Washington had their chances. Both teams are 6-1 against the spread. It's a great game. The viewership is going to be through the roof. Can't wait to watch this game with you and sit here, and you'll be wearing your old Cardinals jersey on the air.
Yeah, I might. Trivia question. What number was I with Arizona?
Ooh. All right, so you were 10 at Tulane, 10 at...
The only time in my life I haven't been number 10. And I'll tell you a funny story.
Four.
I was four. And I ended
a little something.
I ended up, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I ended up wearing four because when they signed me, we had a Pro Bowl punter. I think his name was Scott Player, who had 10.
Mm.
And I offered him a significant amount of money for my number, but he wouldn't budge. And I'm convinced that's why I didn't play well there.
I agree.
Yeah.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah. I mean, look strange in four. Oh. So, Scott, if you're listening, I'm still holding a grudge about that.
I mean, your doghouse, I mean, you need multiple doghouses.
No, no, he's not in my doghouse. Not at all. I mean, it was his number. I mean, if someone would have came to Tampa and wanted 10, I mean, I wasn't selling 10. Like, come on. Tripping? There's still people in the stadium with 10 with King on the back.
Are there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to get me, can I get some King gear? I want some Tulane
again,
gear.
Again, have you gotten... acceptance letter from the University of Genius.
Man, I tell you a lot of things. I told you about C.J. Stroud, 30-1 to win Heisman.
Yeah, and run it yet. He hasn't won it yet.
Yeah, I know. He's 4-1
right now. If he wins it,
he's 4-1 now.
I'll give you.
I also have Matt Corral, 27-1.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy about Ole Miss? They're the
one
lost team in the country that's getting no shine whatsoever. Like, if people talk about Ole Miss, it's generally Lane Kiffin has said something. It's not that they're a one-loss team. It's not. You know, by the way, do they have any shot?
The playoff?
To get to the SEC championship game.
No, because
if Alabama was to lose again?
Yeah, if Alabama lost again.
Right, because they both have one loss.
Ole Miss does have to play Texas A&M again, too. So that would make it complicated. But they have a shot. Do you think Alabama loses again in the regular season?
Well, Auburn is always a 50-50 game. Like, no matter what the records
are. And they're playing better.
Yeah, the Iron Bowl is always, I mean, you could see Arkansas maybe putting up an all-world performance, but you know.
Against Alabama?
It's not likely. It's not likely. And the only game that is on the road is Auburn. But I'm telling you, Buddy playing good at Auburn at quarterback.
They are. Yeah, I
mean, he's playing better.
Playing a lot better than
he's playing good.
Expected.
Like, that's not gonna ever a cakewalk game, no matter what.
Last two times they played in Auburn, they lost. Alabama did.
So it's not inconceivable.
No, it's not.
Especially with Alabama, because how do I say this? They're not playing with the normal football IQ of an Alabama defense. Like, I don't know if it's too complex of a scheme. I don't know if they have too much information in. I don't know, maybe just the offenses in the SEC have gotten better. But multiple times during the game, Alabama has guys running scot-free. I mean, wide open. And some of the quarterbacks haven't been able to hit them. Some have, but they're far from shutdown, lockdown on defense, especially in that secondary. So because of that, and this is why, you know, that Auburn game will be interesting because their quarterback is playing.
Yeah, Nix is playing well.
Really, really good. Bo Nix.
A lot better than I thought.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I wouldn't be stunned if they lost. That Auburn probably, you look at Alabama's schedule right now, they've got LSU off the bye. They're going to smash them. New Mexico State, obviously, that's a sleepwalk. Arkansas at home, they're not losing. And then Auburn on the road. So, yeah. Now,
Ole Miss has speed bumps.
Yes.
They've got Auburn, A&M. Then they got the Egg Bowl at Mississippi State in Stark Vegas.
I'd be impressed. And listen, if Lane Kiffin could get them to 11-1, that would be a phenomenal coaching job.
I've talked about this kid all year because every time I bet with this team, he lays an egg. Watch, he plays a great game.
He might. That'll be a fun game, November 6th, the Hugh Freeze with Liberty, Revenge Bowl.
I bet with Liberty twice this year, Syracuse and Louisiana Monroe. Can't make this up.
They didn't cover this past weekend either. They did
against North Texas.
They did get the win.
Yeah, they looked like they were going to lose
against North Texas.
And by the way, if people, North Texas is was 1-5. They're not 1-6.
Mean Green.
Yeah, they're terrible.
By the way, shout out to UTSA.
Ballin'.
Another cover. I thought this was where the rubber met the road. Not to lose, but I thought 7 at the Fighting Skip Holtzes of Louisiana Tech.
Brad Powers agreed with you.
But this was a.
That was one of his plays.
Yeah. I mean, UTSA just continues to do their thing, man. We talked about them preseason. They were the favorites to win this conference, and we discussed Sincere McCormick. That dude's a baller.
Yeah.
He's an absolute stud.
Shout out to my guy, Matt Maddox. He's the online coach there. He was my guy at USF.
I tell you what, UTSA's head coach, what is that, Jeff Traylor?
Mm-hmm.
Texas Tech just came open today.
Yeah, long time high school.
State
championship caliber coach was on Charlie Strong's staff at University of Texas.
I would say that is a pretty good. Well, Sonny Dykes at SMU could also be a likely landing.
Well, Sonny was already there. Sonny's the OC.
Well, that's the new thing. You bring people back.
Yeah, he's the interim
at Texas Tech.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they brought what's the guy's name? Blake. No, the Texas Tech coach just got fired.
Matt Wells.
When he came from Utah State, he bought David Yost. And so they made him fire David Yost after last year, and he brought in Sonny Dykes.
No, Dykes has been at SMU.
Sonny Cumby. Well, we brought in, I think it was a foreign player. What's the guy's name? And he's the OC, and he's the interim.
Okay. Yeah. Sonny Dykes at SMU is going to have a good shot. I was surprised. I mean, I know things aren't well. They were 5-3, though. Fire midseason? Yeah. Texas Tech?
I know, right?
Third year?
Yeah.
Damn.
I don't know who they're looking for. It makes you think they already have
someone
selected.
Or they're trying to figure out, I mean.
What they really should do? And they'll never admit it. They should offer Mike Leach.
Bring him back?
Yeah. Because you put him. See, the problem with the SEC is Mississippi State's not going to have the kind of players that the guys on the SEC West have. And it's going to be very rare where you can match them guy for guy. You go to Texas Tech, you get access to all those Texas kids with the system that he runs. You know, in a league that's not known for great defense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it fits.
Bring back those Michael Crabtree days.
Yeah.
Man, those are some games. I think it was Halloween 2007. They beat Texas, something like that. Yeah.
One of the most shocking announcements I've ever heard was Mike Leach, Mississippi State. I didn't see that coming.
But UTSA, I believe, still unbeaten against the number.
8-0.
They're unbeaten.
Oh, against the spread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They are undefeated against the spread. By the way, can you name the two teams that have not covered a game this year? Because New Mexico, congrats to the Lobos, not only covered, got the win outright against Wyoming, so they are off the schneid. They have covered a game. There are two teams, both Power 5, have not covered. The Missouri Tigers.
And Vandy?
And the Clemson Tigers.
Wow.
Clemson has not covered a game.
What a fall.
Yet this year. Woo! And they've lost 3 games. Someone called that. Not me. All right, it's a nightcap. We'll wrap things up right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Well, I do have to issue an apology. I said Halloween of 2007, Texas Tech in Texas. It was November 1st of 2008. So I apologize.
Honest mistake.
What a game. God, that game was amazing. You know who was on the call? Brent, of course.
Brent's one of the best.
I mean, he's been everywhere.
Play-by-play guys.
Yeah.
Like I'm just telling you, it's something about the energy that Brent Musburger brings. I think maybe only Gus Johnson matches it. Or
Gus is something else, man.
They are, like, even if you're not, like, into the game, like, they get you into the game. Like, they're both, great. I mean, just unbelievably great.
I mean, he's been everywhere. And, you know, that game, think back, it was Texas was undefeated. I mean, that was the heyday of the Big 12.
It was.
Because you had Texas.
Colt McCoy.
I think Oklahoma, if my memory serves me, I think Oklahoma was down-ish during that time. They were down at some point in the aughts. I don't remember if it was late or maybe it was in the 90s. I guess they had the Jason White team. I don't know.
And 08 would have been 4 years removed from Vince winning in the Rose
Vince
Bowl.
Vince won in the Rose Bowl. That was, 04, that was the 05 season.
Right.
Yeah, and then 06 was the national championship. Yeah, so 3 years removed.
Yeah.
They beat USC.
So Texas was rolling then.
Mm-hmm.
That was still Mac Brown, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So the next year.
A long time ago, Longhorn
fans. The
next
year, Texas went to the national championship game.
Yeah.
That was when Nebraska almost beat them. Magically, there was 1 second left on the clock.
Isn't that the game that Colt McCoy's dad, like, took him out?
I don't know. That was when Ndamukong Suh single-handedly almost won the Big 12 because he was just wreaking havoc. All right.
Good.
Thus ends your trip down memory lane with us randomly remembering college football games. But Texas Tech is open.
SC's open. LSU's open. Those are the three we know about so far. Yep.
UConn.
Yeah, that's not a football job. Yeah.
Virginia Tech, I think, will be open. They were chanting Fire Fuente on Saturday.
Interesting. I don't know how great a job Virginia Tech is currently.
I agree. Everybody said, and I was one of them, when they struck the deal to bring in Fuente to replace Beamer, smooth transition. Memphis was at the peak. And
he did everything right. He kept Bud Foster. And I don't think
it got the blessing from Beamer.
Yeah.
I mean, I interviewed him the year after he got the job. They lived in the same neighborhood, and, you know, he sees Frank Beamer and all that. So
to me, the issues there are talent.
Yeah. You got it. If you're at Virginia Tech, you need to go to the Tidewater area and just try to put a fence around that area.
And I just don't know if you can do that in 2021, no matter who the coach is there.
Right.
I think before social media was so prolific, you know, and people had access to all of this information, like, I think you could lock down an area. But now, like, you know, Penn State's dipping their hand in there.
Oh, yeah.
Maryland's on the come up. Those Big Ten schools are going at you. Florida State's always been a threat.
And if you're in there, I mean, Notre Dame's number two running back was a four-star recruit out of the Tidewater area. He took a visit to Virginia Tech, like, as a junior and was committed to Notre Dame.
And not only is it hard to recruit, like, for all the things that make Blacksburg great, there are all the things that I would use against you.
Yeah.
If I was at an opposing school.
Sure.
Like, you really want to go spend 4 or 5 years in Blacksburg. No offense to the great people of Blacksburg, Virginia, but it's not the biggest
city. It is close to Roanoke. Roanoke's a cool spot.
It's not the biggest
cool
city.
Spot.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap things up here. We'll kind of go bouncing around a little bit. Scott Seidenberg, as always, gonna follow us up. The look ahead.
Yeah.
Gonna look up his. He was
Scott was 1-for-1. Wake Forest, excellent pick.
Yep.
Liberty,
not so much.
Probably
That's
can
right.
go ahead and fold Liberty up and put them in the trash can for the remainder of the season. Like, I'm shocked.
Until,
like,
you want to take those points at Ole Miss.
Like, I always have my notebook with me on Saturdays. So, like, sometimes I'll bounce around and kind of check out games. They weren't playing with any energy, especially on defense, man. I don't know what happened to the defense. Like, and North Texas is a bad football team.
Proud new member of the AAC, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're complaining in that conference. The schools to the left,
yeah,
they just don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
So. What if Conference USA folds? That's what I'm hearing.
Well, the Sun Belt's going to get, they're going to get Marshall. They're going to get James Madison. They're going to get Old Dominion.
Makes sense.
They're getting a lot of those, CUSA not in great shapes. Great shape. Buddy of mine just texted watching the show. What's up, Adam? Appreciate you watching. UNC, he says, has the number 1, 2, and 4 recruit out of the state of Virginia coming in next year.
Yeah, I just saw they just won a battle for the number 1 offensive tackle in the country. He just committed there.
Mac's been recruiting, man.
But which enhances the point. Like, those kids just aren't going to Vitek.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting because Beamer was such an – I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach, and, you know, he got some incredible talent down there, number one being Michael Vick.
Virginia Tech was a national brand before a lot of the other schools were. You got to think that was the ACC, didn't have Louisville, you know, some of these other
programs. Well, they were in the Big East, and they had those rivalries with Miami and then West Virginia and all that. So, yeah, we'll see.
Great for them.
But, you know, maybe Jamie Chadwell could be a guy that goes there, Coastal Carolina.
I think Jamie hurt himself with that performance in Boone, North Carolina.
You could
at
turn
State.
It around. You could turn it around.
But for what job? Like, for me to
I'll tell you what, Hugh Freeze could be a guy that goes to Virginia Tech.
No, he's done.
Why?
Yeah, he's done. They're losing at Liberty. Nobody's touching. I don't think the commissioners of these conferences are going to give the okay
to
go and get, to go get Hugh.
Money talks.
It does. If you're Vitek, whatever. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because Liberty's in Virginia, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think that can make some sense.
Maybe if he brings Malik Willis with him.
Malik Willis is going to the pros.
COVID. Get him another year.
Yeah.
Where's he going to play in Canadian football?
He's going to play in first round football. That's what he's going to
do. Okay. We'll take a cigar bet on that. You want to cigar bet that? You got Malik Willis in the first round. I have him not in the first round. Is that what you want to bet?
I thought you don't do extended bets.
Well, this one I'll take. This is just a give me for a free stick.
All right. I'll take Malik Willis first round.
All right. Boy, I love you.
You didn't win you got a little bullish this weekend. Thought Oklahoma State was going to win that game. You should have. All right. World Series coming up starting tomorrow night. Looking at your updated series prices. We've got the Braves as a plus 120 dog. The Astros minus 140. This thing opens minus 125 in favor of the Astros. Has been bet up in favor of the Stros. Look, Cody Decker was on the show earlier, and hard to disagree. I mean, the way the bats are swinging right now for the Astros, you know, the Braves are going to have to just rely on tremendous pitching. And their bullpen has stepped up so far in this postseason. The bats have been timely. Freddie Freeman is terrific. I'm going to roll with the Braves, but that's mainly because I've got the ticket at 16-1. I think the Astros are the better team, but doesn't always mean you're going to win the World Series.
I think this is a series that not having Lance McCullers catches up with the Astros. I think the more stress that's been put on their starting pitching without having that ace on the staff, I'm going to go Braves because of that. I think the Dodgers series prepared them for what they're going to see against the Astros. I'm going to Braves. I'm going to say the Braves win in 6.
That would be nice.
Yeah, Braves in 6.
I will sit back, no hedge here. I'm going to sit back with the 16-1 ticket and hope that the Braves continue to excel like they did against the Dodgers and get it done. As you see on the screen, or did see on the screen, DraftKings has one of the best prices available if you are able to bet DraftKings across the country. Plus 130 here in town, Circa plus 120, South Point plus 125. So really the best price I'm seeing out there is that one that we're showing on the screen with the Braves at plus 130. So hopefully the Braves will get it done.
Your series MVP?
So Morton's starting game 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Eddie Rosario, 12-1.
I swear I was writing the same name. I'm going Eddie Rosario too.
I'll say Braves in 7.
Okay.
2 years ago, we saw the Astros and the Nats play one of the most unusual World Series where the road team won every single game. I don't think we're going to get a repeat of that, but I do think, and I'm hoping, maybe selfishly, actually very selfishly, that the Braves, the pitching steps up. To your point, no Lance McCullers. He is officially out. He is ruled out for this series. So let's go Braves. Words I never thought I would ever say as a Nationals fan. We will be doing the Tomahawk Chop. Game 1 tomorrow night will be on the air while we're here. Looking at that closing number, total of 8. And if you like the dog in Atlanta, plus 120 is around the price you can get. All right, that's going to do it for our show. the King, Arizona Cardinals own Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Aaron Oster, our producer. Thanks to Brad Powers, Cody Decker. Scott Seidenberg up next right here on VSiN.